15-minute presentation, just some basics of, you know, the building, what we're asking for, and then obviously open up to questions.
Like, maybe we could turn the light off or something?
Oh, yeah, on the back?
Yeah, that's better.
Perfect. All right, so as you can see, these are renderings of the building that we've been working on with the architects and designers, just to give you a little idea of what we're hoping to accomplish here. So, as I said, I'm Alex Friedman. I'm an attorney by training, but for the last 14 years, I've been doing real estate. Mostly what I do is affordable housing, residential property management, and development. And the last 5 years, working with Alex Hammerschlag. We've actually known each other our whole lives. We're family friends. We just started working together 5 years ago, mostly because we think we have we get along well, and we have a complementary set of skills. He's an architect by training, and he focuses in large-scale project management throughout the country. And he really is kind of the heart of the construction process that we go through and guides the design-build process on our projects. Right now, we've been involved the last few years in about $30 million worth of development in Columbia County. And most of what we work on is these types of buildings, old historical buildings that have fallen into disrepair and need to be rehabilitated in some form. So just to give you an example of what we've kind of been working on recently, these are two buildings we just finished in Hudson. They were old, abandoned, vacant buildings that we purchased and rehabilitated. And it's about 10,000 square feet worth of building. So obviously much smaller scale than the mill, which is 30,000 square feet, which just gives you an idea. Has a lot of the same kind of characteristics of, you know, all the, you know, structural rehab and things that are needed for a building like the mill. And also with these projects, we had to go through a lot of the similar types of approvals that we would have to for a project like the mill. So we had to go through Hudson code enforcement, as well as historical groups in City of Hudson, New York State, and federal parks. In addition, that project took about 14 months to complete all the construction and is now fully rented with residential and commercial. So moving to the mill itself, most of you in this room are familiar with some of the attributes of the building, but just going to hit a couple things. One is, as we were kind of talking about before this started, we've been a little disheartened in the past year that we've owned the building to see all the disrepair that continues to happen. So, you know, we had a big flood about 6 months ago. We had to repair a big section of the roof, damaged much of the floors, first, second, and third floor, actually. Every time we go by, including today, every time we're in the building, we're seeing more vandalism. We're seeing, you know, broken windows, destruction of property, in addition to some of the just the issues that the building's facing itself, all the structural rehab that needs to be done. It's in really good shape considering it hasn't been used for 30, 40, 50 years. But, you know, you can see by these pictures some of the issues that we're facing. But saying that, we also think, as everyone here also knows, there's some really beautiful attributes of this building that get us so excited, right? So just some of the pictures, the highlights, obviously everyone knows the position and the kind of grotto area in the back, and just some of the beauty of this existing building that we're really hoping to put back to life and to reverse the process that's been happening. Okay, so now getting into a little bit of our kind of evolution of our process of what we've been thinking. So when we first started looking at the building and purchased the building, to be honest, one of our first thoughts was housing, because we all know the need in Columbia County as well as Philmont for more housing, and we thought that this would be a beautiful spot for it. As we started talking to many people in this room, many people in the village, and just got a better understanding of, you know, what role the building has played historically in the village, we realized that maybe that's not the, you know, the use that we should be going for. And one of the main reasons was, a prime reason was, a lot of people we spoke to said, we don't want this building to be closed off. We don't want to see a fence go around the outside and have it just apartments for you know, the residents who are living there, let's say 40 apartments, and have it close off the public. But this is a building that a lot of people in the village have enjoyed. They've wanted to see it get rehabilitated for a while, and they want it to become more fabric of the community and not just be closed off for private residences. So we took all that into consideration and started to kind of reevaluate our concept. Another interesting thing that happened as we were kind of evaluating, you know, where we are with the whole process is we started talking to architects and professionals. And here's, you know, one of the old historical pictures of Philmont. And one architect said something really interesting to us, that if you think about upstate New York, if you think about Columbia County, if you think about the roles the mills played historically, they really were an engine for the communities, right? Philmont had all these mills, many of which aren't here anymore, most of which are not here anymore. But that was the foundation of Philmont, right? That's what Philmont grew, the housing grew around the mill. The mill was a central focus, as were the other mills. And this architect compared it to what you see in Europe with, let's just say, like the churches in the small towns and villages throughout Europe, where that was kind of the epicenter of the city. Things grew around it, and it stayed a heart and soul and kind of engine of the city. So as we were reevaluating what to do with the building, we thought, is there a way to bring it towards being more open and accessible and not just private residences? Hand over to Alex.
Yeah, and I think one other thing before we get into the details that brought us to the concept we're talking about today was we also just spent time in the building, and we felt this concept allowed the building to really, the charm of it and all the architectural elements Alex just talked about, to remain intact. And so what we're proposing is to make this a all-electric commercial space that will be an event and food and beverage concept with an open floor plan on the third floor, event and food and beverage on the first two floors. This rendering here shows not kind of unrealistic view, you can't get there, but some of the modern interventions we're hoping to put in, mostly in the back, with the front staying much more historic. This is our current site plan. We're really excited about a few elements here. One is we're creating some interventions in the landscape that will allow the users to really engage in a different way with the Agawamic Creek. There's a ADA accessible path that will bring you throughout the landscape into the grotto area, but it will also kind of meander, give you different views, hopefully at the waterfalls, and allow for like a nice walking path and some art moments throughout the landscape. One of the interesting things we've discovered in our research was some images that actually showed a structure that existed really on the creek edge, and we're looking to nod to that with a creek walk that will allow users to engage even more with some of the kind of more beautiful geological elements, and we're really hoping this is a selling point for the end users. We're not going to get into too much detail about some of the site plans we're showing, because these are really just concept. And one of the things though that we had heard from people, our immediate neighbors, was some of the concerns about pedestrian crossing Summit Street, because people kind of go whip around the corner pretty fast. And although this is outside of our property line, we think there's an opportunity maybe to use this project to just create a little bit safer pedestrian walkway. We're talking to operators. We're not looking to operate this building ourselves. And this is a test fit that we put together with our architects to show what we hope will be much of how the operator and user uses the building. We're really thinking of the building in three different sections. The green section being the event space. This is on the first floor with a double height section here that's going to have a balcony on the second floor, showing a concert or performance or spoken word. The blue section, which is going to be the area where we have the elevators and restrooms and some of the circulation and interstitial spaces between the event space and the food and beverage concept. Right now we're showing a full functioning kitchen with a big banquet bar, and actually we're really excited at opportunities to make the cellar area more part of the front of house experience, and we're looking forward to developing these concepts further. And just to kind of finish some of the programming, if you go to this next slide, this is showing the second floor, where we're continuing to show elevators and restrooms, the balcony for the event space, maybe a private dining room, maybe office space in the back. We have the views of the reservoir, office space for the for the operators and, you know, more front of house table space. We've already had a lot of interest with a couple of operators, and you know, one thing we are really excited about is we do think this building is one of the most beautiful buildings in New York, and maybe the best, you know, mill building that's out there. And as we brought in these operators, and even today, watching people kind of react to the building for the first time and kind of have the oohs and ahs as they kind of walk and see the waterfall and walk into the space and see the quality of light has been really exciting for us. So we're eager to tell you more as we get more confident in who our partners are. In our own research and in conversation with some of these operators, we did want to set some expectations of how an event space would be used. Theoretically, it could be around 90 events a year, that most of which would be a higher frequency, like spring, summer, fall, and on the weekends. There might be a handful of events during the off season and certainly some during the week. But this can be anything from, you know, a play to a lecture to a concert or you know, a private event. And this is another rendering we just put together with our architects at Atelier Tech, just to show what the end use could be. You know, we always imagine, you know, the first time we went there, we're like, you know, obviously you can imagine the copper stills floating in some of these double height areas. So this is showing a tasting room and a distillery, but it could be a restaurant, a, you know, ancillary food and beverage area for the event space. And we will continue to update everyone as we kind of develop the design more and work with our partners to finish out the space. So the general schedule is we're going to be planning the rest of this year, hopefully starting construction early in 2025 with the opening in 2026. Obviously, as we get into further in design, we'll fill in some more milestone dates and build out the schedule further.
So obviously this is the first in a whole series of conversations. This is the first time we're presenting to you. We have more meetings with you as well as the village board. But the main issue, and we forgot to introduce Ryan from Taipan, who can definitely answer this page a lot better than us, but just to give you an idea of why we're here tonight, obviously there's lots of different questions that come up with this proposal and proposed use. I think the main question we're trying to get answered tonight and just confirm is the use. So our understanding of the code is that this is the Mill District, obviously you guys are familiar with it. And we believe this use is consistent with the code. So the code is, use of this area is aimed at allowing future commercial use of the property consistent with the character of the village. And the items that we've identified here in terms of the use, which you just went through, are event space, food and beverage, and then a flexible artistic gallery, office space, and artist studio. So one of the areas that we have to determine is the third floor, if the end user is going to use that as part of the event space and the food and beverage, or if that would be an opportunity to do more more offices, more art studios, more things like that on the third floor, which is an answer we don't have quite yet because we're still working with the operators, but did want to have that as a potential use for that third floor. So that's the main question kind of in front of you tonight. And obviously, again, parking, all these other things come up, but this is, I think, the initial threshold question. Two other quick things, and then we'll bring it to questions, and I don't know if Ryan has something too. So we kind of glossed over some of the financial aspects, which again is not, you know, not our focus tonight, but the hard costs of this project are about $10 million to get everything done, and only way that's possible is with a lot of grants and incentives. So as we mentioned, you know, energy conservation and using different renewable energies will be a big part of this project. It was for our previous projects that are all electric and use a lot of energy efficient systems such as heat pumps. In this building, our hope is to do solar panels on the roof, as well as, again, a conversation for future day, but we would love to explore with the village board the option of doing hydro in the creek, which was, you know, there 150 years ago and could be a great opportunity, again, to bring it back into the creek in the building. In addition, yeah, so overall, the aim of this project is going to be about $2 to $3 million worth of energy incentives and different grants to make the project feasible. And we have a lot of experience doing that as well. And the last piece of it is the other part of the kind of grants are, we've been doing a lot of research and talking to many people about different arts grants that could be incorporated into the building. As we kind of showed, there's some, we believe, beautiful moments on the landscape outside as well as inside to engage the creative community to really get grants and to put different types of art within the building and outside of it. So we've started to explore that with different people to try to bring the building to life to that, with that extent too. So that was, that's what we had.
We're not sure what the format is for questions, but I think we're happy to answer any questions now.
Is this presentation online yet?
No.
Yeah.
What's the capacity, approximate capacity of the theater event space?
Well, we don't know from a code standpoint. We're showing like 200 seats, I think, right now, but we'll, in the next few weeks, we'll know our occupancy.
All right, this is not a public hearing, by the way. So your question should come from our board. Questions? Anybody? Insulation? What's your interior plan?
Insulation? So there's not going to be much. I mean, with historic tax credit projects, they really don't allow it. What we're hoping to achieve with the solar, at least, and some of the better mechanical strategies, is to still have like a reasonable energy cost. But the R value of the building will be stressed. That's just the nature of these projects.
How thick are the walls, do you know?
They're four width, I think. They're four bricks wide. And you know, at some point, we'll probably do a study of how good of an insulator the actual existing walls are. And then one of the kind of biggest price tags we're exploring is whether or not we're going to be replacing the windows with insulated glass. But we don't know if we're going to yet.
Part of that's because the SHPO, they kind of dictate a lot of that.
Yeah.
And what type of heat are you talking, the what units are radiant?
We may need some radiant along some of the windows, but we're talking about like a VRF system or RTU, so big rooftop units, or like the little VRF farms that have refrigerant line and fans in the building.
Also, you had said before about the roofing, you had to patch the roofing in places. It's going to be completely replaced. Means that you're putting units up there and things?
Yeah, I mean, so the goal is to have the right balance of solar panels and what we need to put up there for mechanicals. The more mechanicals we have up there, the less solar we can put up there. So what we will also have to provide to SHPO at the very least is sight lines that show that you can't see too much equipment from the street.
Now there's no on-site parking at all, correct, plan?
No, we are gonna have a couple of on-site parking spots, yeah.
200?
No. We're gonna have a handful, but we haven't developed that yet.
So your plan basically for parking that is to park at the village lot, the public lot, and then shuttle people?
That is part of it. We're still kind of outlining that, and I think that's probably going to be the next meeting, is more extensive parking discussion, because as everyone knows, that's one of the biggest challenges of this building. Village lot is definitely not an option, and there's a couple other things that we've been working on, but I don't know if we're ready quite yet to bring that to you guys.
All right, a couple other things you were talking about, having an area with beverage. And basically in a mill district, I don't think bars are permitted. So how would you propose to circumvent that?
Standalone bars, but liquor licenses associated with restaurants, mm-hmm, are permitted.
I don't know, are they, Rob?
I'm looking right now.
Restaurants are available under a special permit for the mill district, which is what we were, that's one of the interpretations we're looking for tonight, is to make sure we're, as long as we sell food and beverage.
Yeah, bar is not. Sorry, I'm trying to trace the table in the use.
That's all right, it should be the second page of it.
Yeah.
Everything else that they have enumerated, it's not a problem. I mean, the mill district is very favorable for most of the uses because the village wanted to promote reutilization of that property.
Yeah, love the project.
Places of public assembly, outdoor recreation, non-nuisance industry, office for business or professionals are permitted use without even a site plan review. So yeah, getting to the second page, restaurant, yep, is a specially permitted use. So yeah, it would be, any alcohol service would be accessory to a restaurant, obviously, so.
All right, another question I have, in your application, you mentioned that you would be looking for some kind of easement on the noise ordinance. What's your plan?
I'm not sure we're ready.
Yeah, I think that'd be the next meeting as well.
Yeah.
So specifically, what we discussed with Time Bond is that in order to move to that next level where we talk about parking and noise and all the rest of it, we need to make sure at least our use that we're proposing is permitted. And then, you're right, absolutely, noise, parking, all these issues would be the next step of the planning board to come, you know, to you with more concrete issues. We just didn't want to get too far ahead of ourselves to make sure, and we've already gotten pretty far, as you can see, but make sure that at least even the use we're chasing all works.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's going to be the next meeting is talking about all those issues.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have just a couple of questions that will help us be able to come to a decision for things you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the use, in this building's 150 year history, it's never had these uses. So we're in a position to, you know, protect the village and have what was developed here, the needs of the village, residents, businesses, visitors, that all has to come in under consideration. And I'm finding, I keep reading and rereading your application, and I realize it's very early.
Mm-hmm.
But I see some details and some examples of things, but there seems to be a lack of planning. And this is the planning board, you know, not the zoning board. And the way we can come to a decision is some sort of review of planning issues. So if there's going to be, and I just took a quick count, just for the one event space, if that's going to be 300 people arriving at once, and there might be other events going on, you want to make money, so there might be other things going on in other places in the building. So my big question is the intensity of activity that's going to happen in this building, which has never happened before in its history. How did that number of people arrive at, in a very short interval? The parking is a very major issue.
Mm-hmm.
Deliveries, I see no, absolutely nothing showing on this plan how deliveries are going to be made. I can't even see how a truck is going to turn around in what you've provided. So it's planning, it's the, you need a planner who knows what's going on. You're saying you're going to use the municipal parking lot, but there's another plan going on in the village simultaneously through the BOA. That parking lot may not even be there anymore. So we need this coordination of the planning that's going on in the village and how this is all going to work with maybe 300 people coming at once, and maybe even more. I mean, I'm just making it up because I don't have to, you didn't provide any notes.
Sure, so I think from our perspective, we totally understand that you need all that information, and we're a little early in the process, but it's a lot of financial responsibility for these guys to put all of that number and all of those studies together for initial application, only to realize that if we present that to the board, our uses weren't appropriate, or the board didn't find our uses appropriate for the venue. So what we came here tonight for was, we had originally submitted to Lee, said, hey, what do you think about these uses? Do you think this is appropriate? You know, this is our interpretation of the code. Our uses don't exactly fit the definitions of the uses in your zoning code. Do you think we could, we should submit like that? And Lee had advised, let's go to the planning board, why don't you submit for your uses, and you can kind of put in a preliminary application, talk about your type of uses, talk about what we plan on doing, come up with something preliminary, and then if everybody approves the uses, then these guys can go out and put together the planning strategy for, you know, how do we handle parking? How is pedestrian access, which we like grazed upon today? You know, what are we gonna do for deliveries? We have a little blurb in there about a loading dock that's already on site, but
yeah.
I understand that's not fully worked out.
Yeah, I read that.
It needs to be put together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, before we incur all those financial burdens, we wanted to make sure that we're at least on the right track. And so, you know, that's what we're here kind of to ask for today. Rather than, you know, I totally get, we need to work these things out, and we need to know exactly how many seats are gonna be in that auditorium, exactly how many seats are gonna be at the table, so we can provide you numbers like sewer and water, and see how that's all gonna work within the village. But we don't wanna do all those calculations only to find out that the food, our determination of food and beverage didn't match yours, and so that use isn't even allowed there, right? That's a lot of money to work through. So that was kind of why we're here, and we're hoping at least we can work through that piece, and then, of course, we'll have to come back with a lot more information for you.
Right. So sticking to use,
yep.
How do we resolve, you've already asked for a waiver for noise, and saying that the waterfall provides enough ambient sound or noise that you that we qualify for a waiver from all noise.
Yep.
But then you're saying you first want to get approval for use. Well, we need to know if the use is going to be live music. That's very different from the ambient sound from a waterfall and the sound from a music event. So how do we approve the use when already you're asking for a waiver to sound?
Yeah, I think it's more of a procedural process, right? So we want to understand whether you agree with our uses, and from, you know, obviously we have still more to talk about there. But if you agree with our definitions of the uses and where they would fit in your zoning code, we also wanted to identify waivers, understanding that we're going to have to get kicked to the ZBA to discuss those waivers. And procedurally, the planning board would first review our application, then kick us over to ZBA to work through those waivers while we're working on some of these planning details you're talking about, and then we'd come back with a full application to the planning board. So I don't think we're asking the planning board to make a determination on those waivers, and we're certainly not supposed, we're not asking today for an approval of anything, really just a kind of back and forth conversation that yes, we understand your definition of uses, and we agree with how you've defined them, and find that they're appropriate. They're gonna require these type of applications, and so we anticipate you submitting on that stuff the next time you're in front of us.
Okay, but the use and the capacity is very close, has a very close relationship. So the building originally attracted or had many people come to it on a daily basis in the days when they arrived. There were two train lines, the third train line, so they either arrived by train or they walked, because they already lived here. So that's a very different scenario from the use you're talking about now. And so to get that approval for use before having some hint, I'm not pinning you to the exact number, but to have some hint of what capacity, and you said 90 events a year, that helps.
Yep.
But are there going to be smaller events? Because I was reading there's gallery spaces, offices, restaurant. There's a restaurant in there. So that's a number of things going on at once, in addition to the 90 major events. It would just help to have a handle on what it is you're talking about. And to, you can't just separate that from use. We have to have some idea. You're talking about 50 people, 1,000 people, but if you could just put that together, it would help us be able to make our decision.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems there's use and then there's occupancy, right? So I think we might be a little bit, maybe I'm not understanding what you're getting at, or a bit of a circular argument. We're developing this property, we're looking for an operator. We could have a restaurant, we could have 90 events. We could have 20 people theater or 200. We haven't said those numbers because step one is, can we use this building as a restaurant and can we use this building as an event space? The from my understanding, we just wanted to make sure that you're saying yes to those potential uses, and then we will come back with a lot more detail on occupancy. Some of these conversations we already have like relatively good idea of how we would answer, but we're just not ready to answer that yet. And we need to make sure that we know a restaurant is considered within use, understanding that you haven't said yes to anything because 500 people in a restaurant is a very different situation for the neighborhood than 20 people.
Because I guess part of the issue, right, is yet for us to continue down this path of evaluating this, getting, like Ryan said, I mean, incredible amount of money, time, energy, everything, even having an end use operator, and then to come back and then at that stage say we can't even do the use, because all these other questions like parking will be addressed, like noise, we know we have to come back to you for that, but you know, if it sounds like the question is as simple as food and beverage special waiver, which is what it sounds like, because it sounds like we're even approved. You guys tell us, but it sounds like we're already approved for events. The question is mostly food and beverage operations. And if that is permissible, then we can go to that next step and handle all these issues, which all of us know are critical and need to be explored and understood by you before you make those decisions. But if the main question we're asking for, it sounds like between Ryan and you are, is food and beverage allowed here? Then you're 100% right. We have to come back to you with all those other details before you guys can sign off anything else. But we have to at least know food and beverage is allowed in the Mill District, and then we can kind of do all those next steps.
Okay, my point is if you can do that with a planner, certainly you don't, you know, get the manager of the spaces in line. But a planner just takes the total square footage, and we know it's 30,000 square feet. You do a section of the building and just show just basic uses and capacities. Just so we have some idea of what.
Yeah,
but that's later, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Can I just so the unique scenario I think we're in is because of the ambiguity of the language of the Mill District. We wanted to have this initial step of you saying yes, this is your understanding of the use. If this were in a different district and the restaurant was clear, or the building was clearly available for a restaurant, we wouldn't have to come to you initially and say, is this good for a restaurant? We'd come to you on the next question, which is occupancy code, logistics, parking. We're not there yet because of the language specifically for the specific district. And this meeting was at the advice of, I think,
Lee.
So we agree where this is a unusually premature meeting, but it's for a very unique scenario, I think, in town.
And occupancy has to be decided. We don't choose the occupancy, right? Like you said, it has to be. An architect has to go through
right.
All you guys. So we absolutely understand that's part of the process. But I guess if we said the occupancy is 100 people versus 300, would that change the idea of can we use it for food and beverage, which it sounds like, and I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was that specific. It sounds like that's the main thing. Then you're 100% right that occupancy will have to be determined and agreed upon.
And Rob, maybe you can help us from our previous conversation. It sounds like you've kind of reviewed what we've submitted in an application and found our definitions to be consistent with the code, or? Yeah.
So Rob, just for a little background on this, you're saying that everything that they are asking for from the standpoint, can we do it, is good?
Yeah, theoretically, yeah.
So what we need from them next is how you intend to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not asked, I mean, we're not going to approve anything tonight, obviously.
Right.
But we can tell you if we think it meets the code. I mean, Rob is saying that it is, so it's kind of a moot point, I think. how long would it take you to come back and give us the answers that, that Tom's looking for instance, about, you know, occupancy, noise reduction, and all that kind of thing?
So, I guess the issue, first threshold issues, I think the issue you guys are gonna need to come back to us on is gonna be food and beverage, if that's permitted in this district.
I think Rob's already nodded his head to that, so I think we're, that definition.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good.
Just for purposes of the minutes and the record, in the mill district, a restaurant is permitted by special use permit.
And we're defining a food and beverage venue as fitting into the restaurant, so there's brewery food.
You're gonna table serve people meals at the event.
So now Lee is gonna read these minutes and be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, yeah, absolutely, so we're gonna have to schedule the next planning board meeting where all these questions do need to be addressed in terms of occupancy, all the rest of it. And we'll have a better understanding, again, the three issues you guys have brought up are obviously the critical ones, right? Occupancy, noise, parking are the ones we've heard the most and absolutely agree need to be addressed and understood by everyone before you're gonna be able to make your determinations.
And we'll talk to our design team who can answer most of these questions and help us prepare and let you know how long it'll take, but we have an architect, we're building the rest of the engineering team and we'll come back to you.
And I just have one other thing, you mentioned the heating and cooling of the building and reducing energy. Just be aware that Philmont is one of the few municipalities in New York State that has adopted the New York State Energy Stretch Code. So you do have to meet that, those requirements, whatever it is you end up doing.
Yes. And it's definitely part of you know, our goal with this building and all the buildings is to hit those requirements.
Cool.
So again, apologize for all the confusion in terms of, because honestly, we didn't even know that that was the specific question, but as long as we do, then this is the beginning of many other conversations to be had and yeah, further development. But at least we know we can kind of move forward with this concept to come back to you with more detail.
All right, so on Rob's advice then, board, are we in agreement that it fits the process?
Yeah, just to rattle off what we're going through based upon their list. So specifically, we've discussed restaurant is allowable in that district. You know, community buildings, that doesn't necessarily fit what they have going on. And correct me if I'm misinterpreting what you had thought. Indoor theater is a permitted use. They wouldn't, as I said before, they wouldn't even have to come here for that. Offices are a permitted use, office for business or professional use. So if they wanted to commit office uses there, they could. Outdoor recreation, depending on how our definition categorizes it. So what they're doing on the outside there is a permitted use. So they wouldn't necessarily need planning board review for that. Places of public assembly, that's a pretty broad definition, but that might cover some of the outdoor events that they anticipate there. That's especially permitted use, which would give you the leverage to say hours of operation, number of people, number of events per year, where you're parking them, outdoor music, acoustic, electric, all those things that you do with event spaces and things like that.
Excuse me, and a place of assembly also counts interior spaces.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
And that's by special permit.
Special permit,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, as we discussed, restaurant. And I think that covers everything else. You know, the only thing that's a little bit different is flexible artist gallery, but that seems to fall into public assembly space as well. Or I don't know, artist gallery, sometimes you get into retail if they're actually selling things there. But I don't see problems with what you're doing there. I think the problem that we're discussing and you're telling us you're gonna answer is we got the 10 pounds of nails in a 5 pound bag problem. You know, you got a lot of uses going on there that could draw 300 people there at once, and that's, you're going to tell us how you're going to marshal that.
And absolutely, and we've started to think through those. We just don't want to come to you without a hard and fast understanding and be able to walk through it. So obviously, all the questions we've been contemplating.
So 5 parking spaces, one.
And just for the board's deference, I mean, the way it works is the code officer makes the initial determination if he believes the use is permitted or not. The public has a right to appeal that to the ZBA and say, we think he's wrong, which that process has been triggered now if they necessarily wanted to. They don't really want to go through that process, so they'd like to make sure you guys are okay with what they're proposing, which gives them the ability to go forward on that. Someone could come along and say, no, you can't have an artist gallery there. I don't think it's right. But that's within a person's and a citizen's right to make that challenge if they wanted to, but.
Okay, well, like I said, we can't approve anything tonight, but is anybody here opposed to what they're approving? Or what they're asking for, I should say.
No.
All right, so we're on board with what you wanna do. Now you're gonna have to come back and.
How to do it.
And convince us how you're gonna do it.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Rob, from a procedural standpoint, is it appropriate at this time for us to be referred to the ZBA? Or do you want us to come back with a more complete application before referring us to the ZBA?
Probably you should come back with a more complete and then the planning board can make a referral. You need X.
Yep.
Because you're asking for Y.
Okay.
And if you guys need more time, like if you know you're not gonna make the next planning board meeting, just, I don't know who wants to be the point of contact. It's usually you, Chairman, right? Or Jessica, who's also the village clerk.
Yeah.
Just let her know and then we'll push you off to the next month if you need it.
Yeah.
If you're coming, what's the, when do you need it by ahead of time? 10 days prior you want?
That would be a.
Ideally, 10 days prior.
Yep.
We're probably gonna be too short. I'll talk to these guys tomorrow, but I would imagine we're gonna be too short. We'll figure out.
Yeah, just that way we can keep it going. And then just for everybody's, when you make submissions, if you can make them electronically too, to Jessica, and then we get them on the website and then everybody in the room all gets to see it as well. That prevents, that'll save you months because people will say, I didn't get to see it yet.
And Jessica will tell me immediately and then I send a blast out to the board.
You still want the hard copies?
Yes, you guys still want your hard copies, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now, would you like to be on the meeting next month? Is that?
I think it might be tight for us.
Yeah.
It'd probably be 2 months.
If I have to think about all the things you have to get accomplished in the time, I don't think you're gonna be.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Probably be 2 months.
Well, I'm having my knee replaced in a week, so it'll give me more time too.
Okay, great. Fix the deck before you wheel yourself in, I guess.
Oh, I'm stubborn, I'll be all right.
Okay.
I'm stubborn.
Thank you all. We'll be here for a few minutes if anyone wants.
Yeah.
No, you can keep it.
But if you don't want it, we can.
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
It's all right.
Are you sure? Oh, no.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait, hold on. Make a motion to adjourn?